Kia ora, this program is brought to you by Wellington Access Radio. Wellington Access Radio, make your voice heard.
August Falteroff. You have just tuned in to Capital Irish on Access Radio 106.1 FM. We're broadcasting from Wellington, New Zealand, and I'm Alice Paul. I'm one of the group of presenters who come here every week, and we have at the helm today, doing all the technical work, Eilish Ní Cheasaidí, and she'll be our technician for the day and tell me when to stop talking and when to begin. But before I begin, I want to sincerely thank our sponsors, Susie and Peter McGuinness, Hutt Valley Irish Society and the Wellington Trust. So today's show is a little bit different because it was recorded on Zoom yesterday when I was able to link up with the very famous Irish singer Daniel O'Donnell. It was a real pleasure to have a chat with Daniel, and we at Capital Irish are so grateful that he took the time out of his busy life to come and chat to us, and he was so very interested in what we do in community radio, particularly with relation to the Irish community being connected. So I hope you will enjoy this lovely, lovely chat that I had with Daniel, and I'll come back to you when that's finished. Okay, Daniel, this is absolute privilege for Capital Irish to have such a celebrity, somebody we just really treasure your coming to New Zealand.
Thank you,
Daniel,
very much,
O'Donnell, the famous Daniel O'Donnell. You're here for how many times is it now, Daniel, that you've come to New Zealand?
This is our 14th time to do shows in New Zealand. We have been to Wellington a few times. This time, unfortunately, we're not in Wellington. I suppose the closest we're getting to you is Palmerston North.
That's right.
But we always enjoy it, Alice. You know, we've started coming in 1994. We came and did a show in Auckland.
Yes.
And then we went down. The next year, we went to Christchurch. And it was like that for a few years. And then we went to other places. So it's lovely to get back. We haven't been here since 2017. We were supposed to come in 2020. And, of course, nobody went anywhere in 2020.
That's right.
So it's lovely to be back.
It really, and it's so good for New Zealand and for all your fan club here that you're coming, because you know we're so far away in the world. It's always an uplifting experience when we get musicians coming, particularly musicians, but any celebrity. But
it really brings people. Way.
Yes, it brings people closer to home.
Well, I suppose it does, you know, and we enjoy the visits we've done. Well, I've always enjoyed the visits I've done here, and you know, looking forward to these shows.
Yes.
As well, Palmerston North, we always get a lovely welcome there too.
You do. You'll have a lot of Wellingtonians going up there, I can assure you of that.
But I hope so.
You will. And Daniel, you know, we know so much about you, and we've heard many, many interviews on the radio here in New Zealand and in Ireland. But you come from the most beautiful place in Ireland, of course, Donegal. Marion and I will agree to that. It's Monaghan is beautiful, but Donegal is. We went to Malinhead earlier this year. I was home for a few months in Ireland in the summer, and had the privilege. I have a friend in Malinhead, and wow, the beauty is—it's unspeakable. It's beautiful.
It's very unspoiled. I suppose very rugged, the coastline of Donegal, and we live And right out on the west coast, and near Dunloe, between Dunloe and Gweedore. And we're right looking out on the Atlantic Ocean. It's really lovely. I suppose I'm lucky in the respect that I've been able to live more or less where I was born. I'm only about 2.5 miles from our family home, you know.
My goodness.
I'm blessed in that respect. Now I travel a lot, but even though I travel, I feel that's where the roots are, and that's where home is.
You're very, very lucky to wake up in the morning and look out on the Atlantic Ocean when you're there, and its different moods, and it must be an inspiration as well for your music. So,
well, you know, when you're able to be, I think when you're able to live where we're brought up, especially in Ireland, you know, we know everybody and everybody knows us, not because of what we do, but because that's where I was born. Exactly. And you know, you go out and to Dunloe, which is the nearest town, and you know nearly everybody that's walking along the street. It's a lovely, I suppose it's a lovely way to live.
It is. It's a privilege, you know. Mm. And Daniel, there was something that just crossed my mind before I connected with you just now, was when we went to Donegal, we saw so many Ukrainian refugees who have come, and Donegal has been so generous. And
yeah, there's a lot.
Even
where we are, we had a hotel. There was a guest house on it, and then we kind of developed into a small hotel, only, you know, about 15 bedrooms. And then that lease was sold on, and it was sold on in the last couple of years again, and they have fully, you know, dedicated the hotel to Ukrainian families.
Yes.
And the village. So, well, it's just outside the village of Kincastle. And, you know, there and various places, in Ardra, there's a hotel there.
That's right.
A lot of people have invited them into their homes too. It's a tragic experience, I suppose, for them. But I suppose the fact that they're welcomed and they have security is very important.
Mm-hmm. And we know, and we're aware of the fact, you know, that there's a little bit of the right-wing element who would probably prefer that everybody stay in their own place. But what about happened to all the Irish after the famine? We always have to keep an open mind about that.
That's what I always say. You know, if the world didn't open its doors to people from Ireland, Ireland wouldn't be the country it is today. You know, my mother, her sister emigrated to New York, to Long Island. My mother had, and Bayonne, New Jersey, she had her mother, my grandmother had two sisters and a brother, and my grandfather had a brother and a sister who all emigrated. And, you know, if those people didn't get the opportunity, and so many others, you know, the St. Money home, and likewise to England and Scotland, and, you know, I suppose for the lesser part Australia in those days, I suppose from the 60s on, there was a great amount of people went to Australia and New Zealand. You know,
that's right.
But that didn't open up. I don't think, maybe I'm wrong in saying that, but you know, when that passage, that £10 trip came up, it meant a lot of people came this way. So, you know, you have to look at it in that respect. Now, I know that you know, you have to be realistic too, and know that any country can only accept so many, and it can only survive if so many come in. But I do think it's important that we remember.
I think so, and I think when I was there in the summer, I observed, you know, Ireland is doing so well, and it's such a prosperous, vibrant, happy place at the moment, and you know, a wonderful place for people to arrive in. It must be very positive, because you are very affected by your surroundings. And my sister lives in County Meath, near Slane, and there were quite a few Ukrainian people there. And I thought, what a marvellous place to be in after the tragedies. So, you know, I hope that they all feel like that in the places.
Yes, and that they feel welcomed and that they're happy. I mean, exactly. Obviously, they would rather be at home.
Of course.
You know, that goes without saying. And I suppose a lot of the Irish people, although they made great lives for themselves, there's that, always that draw to home. Even maybe, even in your case, even though maybe you would never settle at home again, I don't know, I'm not speaking for you, but it would be hard to settle at home. You always have that longing to go back, and you need to every so often plug in to what you knew.
You do. And they say in your it's your first 5 to 7 years, you know, your formative years, that puts your roots down for life. And then after that, you're always attached to that place, no matter where you are. So, we have millions of Irish people all over the world who feel the same way, and they refer to Ireland as home. But anyhow, Daniel, you're an ambassador for music, and you're an ambassador for, you're a great philanthropist, I know, and then you, so that's a real guy, a really good thing that a lot of Irish, probably successful musicians have shown that it's not all about them, it's about what they do for other people,
Alison, I'm interrupting you, but you have an opportunity, I suppose. I've been involved in charities down through the years, as many people have, you know, that are in the music business or in other areas of the arts, I suppose. And I always feel that, you know, there are people who work tirelessly for charities, and they do a lot more than the like of me. But I suppose the fact that you have a bit of celebrity or whatever you want to call it, when we speak, our voice is louder.
Yes.
It's heard by more people. So we can do less and yet sometimes get a greater result than those people who are working tirelessly. And they are necessary too, because they're on a day-to-day, week-to-week, month-to-month, work for charities.
We might do
something for a day or a couple of days, and, you just raise the awareness. So I don't think that anybody and that has a bit of, you know, notoriety or celebrity, they should always realize the power they have.
That's right.
You know, and to use be it able to do good. Something.
Yes. And Daniel, as the mother of a traveling musician, I have to tell you, my son is a musician, an Irish musician, and I know how tiring it is and how exhausting it is after the show is over and packing up and just talking to everybody. But you've become part, I understand how everybody who knows Daniel O'Donnell thinks they have a personal relationship with him, because you've got such a good relationship with your fan base. And
down through the years, you know, I've always met people after the shows.
Yeah.
And for me, it's a great thing. I think no matter what I would have done career-wise, to be able to interact with people would have been very important. And that, whatever I might have chosen. And obviously this is the best way ever that you could, because people are coming to the shows because they want to come.
Yeah.
And it's a very positive situation. So you're meeting people, and it's a meeting that's fueling you. You know what I mean? It's very positive. So even though it might be take a while, it's not draining.
No.
You know, it's almost like
you're doing your show.
Plus the fact that, you know, when I go out on the stage then in different places, you're looking out and you're recognising people.
Yeah.
Now, having said that, after 7 years, I'll have to test my memory now.
You will.
Because it's 7 years since I was here. But still, there are people. I mean, I think already of people that I'll meet in Invercargill, and people that might be in Auckland and Christchurch and Palmerston North, you know, that I met on previous visits.
Yes,
so you're looking forward to that, you know.
Yeah, and you can connect, especially the Donegal people. You know, you had the Hughie Greens and
McConnell's. Well, I visited. Yeah, we were on a cruise actually at the minute, and we were in Auckland as part of it, and I met up with John Green That's Hugh Green's brother and Anne, yes, and Angela. So we've kept up a great connection with them, you know. And I'll meet Mary Ann, Hugh's daughter. She's going to the show in Invercargill. Great. And Frankie, Hugh's sister, is over from Australia. So yeah, I'll meet,
well, so you're well, I'll meet connected them in Invercargill. With Donegal, because of course Hugh, he was so good to Donegal.
Well, he was a huge figure at home as well, because, you know, he was very generous to various charities. And, you know, that's a mark of the man. And then the McCahills as well.
That's right.
I didn't see Patsy yet, but I'll meet Patsy too at the show. That was, you know, Hugh's partner was Barney.
Yeah. And Daniel, I have to, probably shouldn't tell this little story over the airwaves, but in New Zealand here, my husband was a river engineer, and he worked with a fellow from Donegal called Steve McInerney, who tells us he's a relative of yours somewhere in the distance.
Imagine that. God, isn't it a small world?
But a very funny thing happened. They were negotiating a deal with a lady up the country to get some land from her. And she was, you know, to put in the river link. Right. She wasn't happy at all, didn't want to sell this piece of land. So Steve McInerney was called on to go and negotiate with her. And he walked into the house, and whose photograph should be on top of the TV but Daniel O'Donnell?
Oh, my God.
He said to her, "Are you a Daniel O'Donnell fan?" And she said, "Oh, yes, I've been to every concert." Wow. Do you know, they sealed the deal before he left that day.
Well, thank God I made some good for that.
It was very funny.
Get commission of Steve.
Steve dines out on that little story, so I'll have to tell him.
Oh,
it's
gone
viral now.
World. Wow.
So that's very, you know, we have a lot of people who have a little one or other story about you, and it's always good.
I just met her. There was a lady on the cruise, and she went off, but she came back on today to meet friends, and she had her father with her, and he had, you know, CDs. I never met him. He was, I think he's about 90, and I met him this morning, and he, you know, amazing people that they would. He's Dutch, and obviously emigrated here a long time ago, but he has no connection with Ireland. And yet loves the music, you know.
He loves the music. See, music breaks down barriers in whatever country you come in. Yeah. And playing as you are going to do your concerts now, you're lined up for the concert in Auckland, in Christchurch, in Palmerston North, and down in
Invercargill.
So Daniel, I know that when my son plays in New Zealand, and he lives here, but he was in an Irish band, Grada, and when they come to New Zealand to play, he always says, "Oh, this was our favorite venue to play in," or "That was our favorite venue to play in," because the people, you get a different vibe with each venue, you know. Do you find that as well?
Well, you do, you know. You get, well, you get a great, I suppose, when the atmosphere is good, it spurs you on. You know, a show can be good and an audience can make it great. And it's whatever you get back from the audience. And I love the interaction with the people. And I love, you know, the people singing along. And it really is, it's great, you know. I mean, we've been to Auckland a lot of times. We've been to Palmerston North. We've been to Timaru. We've been to Christchurch and Dunedin. We're not getting to Dunedin this time. And I was saying that the Invercargill people will be delighted, because they normally have come to Dunedin, you see.
Yes, that's right.
This time the Dunedin people are going to have to travel to Invercargill. So I think that's a feather in the cap.
I think that's pretty good.
And maybe it is for Palmerston North to have the Wellington people traveling there, because I'm sure they normally have to come to Wellington.
Oh, Lord, they will be delighted. They'll be delighted. It'll be a day, big day out to the country. But Daniel, tell me, I've never been on a cruise. Or would you recommend it, especially a cruise around New Zealand?
Oh, we love it, you know. We love it. We're actually in Picton today, and I'm going to go out. I'm doing another interview in a wee while, and then we'll go out and, you know, view what's here. We were in Wellington, of course, yesterday, and then we were in Tauranga. I'm saying that wrong.
No, not but, too bad. Tauranga.
Tauranga. Mm-hmm. We were there. Now, the last time we were there, we went to Rotorua.
Yeah.
We were on a cruise a number of years ago, and we loved that.
You liked
and
the cruise.
Of course, we had a couple of days in Auckland. Uh-huh. And, you know, it's a great way to see places. And sometimes, you know, you can choose to go on a tour from the ship too.
That's right.
If you so wish.
Yeah.
But it's
a gentle way to see the country, isn't it?
Yeah.
And do you find now our time is probably closing in, and you and I could probably talk all day because two Irish people together, we don't know.
Well, we were in Wellington. The funny thing yesterday, we were in Wellington, and Magella's sister lives in Christchurch. She's married in Christchurch, and her daughter is at university in Wellington. So she's living there. She's working for the summer, I suppose, working now. And we were meeting her. So we were going up to the Beehive because we arranged to meet her outside the Parliament buildings.
Yeah.
But we thought, when we got there, we thought, well, there's a number of places we could be standing here. So we just seen this one morning. If you were to meet somebody outside the Parliament buildings, where would you go? So he went up and he said, up there. And he said, you're from Ireland? We said, yes. Oh, she's my sister lives in Tipperary. And and Feathered. And Magella says, my aunt lives in Feathered and cousins. And she said, well, if you're ever in Feathered, go into, I think he said, McCarthy's pub, the own McCarthy's pub. So I never, for one minute, I didn't think anything about him knowing who we were. So I said, well, when you're talking to them at home, I says, tell them you were talking to Daniel and Magella O'Donnell. And he said, Daniel O'Donnell, the singer. I said, It was funny how we picked out one person that had a sister living in Feathered in County Tipperary.
That's lovely, Daniel. Well, I don't think there'd be many places in the world where you would go where people wouldn't know you. So, it's such a privilege for Capital Irish that you have agreed to do this and take this time to chat to us.
Thanks very much, Alice. It's lovely to get chatting with you. You know, nice to be able to connect with people too. The radio is very important, especially, you know, even yet for Irish people, you know, as we were saying earlier about always that longing to go home. Yeah. I think when you're away, it's lovely to hear about home and about things from home. And I suppose you're able to relate things that I always found when I came to New Zealand and Australia that we hear very little about Ireland.
Yes.
You know, and vice versa. We hear, I mean, unless, you know, there's a huge disaster.
Yes, that's right.
That's the only time, you know, you hear anything about your country and Ireland or about Ireland or the UK here. So I suppose your show is very important to people.
It's very important. And I have to tell you that we have, on St. Patrick's Day, we have a parade here and we get all the Irish coming out and we've got 16 or 18 little children all learning the Irish songs and they're going to sing on the stage.
That's lovely. That's lovely.
We kind of keep pulling threads and we keep it together.
That's great.
So that we can live with our own culture alongside so that we don't forget and we pass that on.
Absolutely.
So it's very important. Yeah, it's very important.
Well, listen, I hope maybe as we speak that some of the people listening will be coming to Parma. I know it's a journey to Palmerston North, but...
No, sure. It's only an hour and a half. It's not too bad at all.
Well, hopefully
Daniel. It's been such a pleasure. It's been such a pleasure to talk to you. And our great gratitude to you for taking this time. And slán agus bannacht and love to Donegal and to all the lovely people that travelling with you.
Thanks a million, Alice. Gur míle maith agus slán agus bannacht de chéad fhosta.
Well, I hope you enjoyed listening to that as much as I enjoyed listening to Daniel when I was chatting with him. It was a real pleasure. And if anybody is interested in going to the concerts, of course, all you need to do is put in Daniel O'Donnell into your subject line, and tickets for concerts, Palmerston, Auckland, Invercargill and Christchurch. So it would be lovely if you could support him like he supported us. That would be great. And I realise now I've got about a minute left, but I would love to finish off with one of Daniel's songs, of course. And we're going to choose the song, I Just Want to Dance With You. But I want to dedicate this song to my sister Anna Mee, who lives in Carrickmacross. And she's one of Daniel's biggest fans, as is my cousin, Frances MacDonald, who lives in Castleblaney. And I hope that they're able to listen to Daniel's little chat here in New Zealand. And slán agus beannacht to everybody. Talk to you in a month's time again.
I don't want to be the one who hesitates, be too shy, wait too late. I don't care what they say other lovers do, I just want to dance with you. Well, I got a feeling that you got a heart like mine, so let it show, let it shine. If we get a chance to make one heart of two, I just want to dance with you. I want to dance with you, twirl you all around the floor. That's what they invented dancing for. I just want to dance with you. Dance with you, hold you in my arms once more. That's what they invented dancing for. I just want to dance with you. At me when I looked at you. Yes, I did. You know that's true. You don't get embarrassed by...
You've been listening to Capital Irish on Wellington Access Radio 106.1 FM, thanks to the generosity of our sponsors. We couldn't be here without them. Our sponsors are Wellington Irish Trust, Susie and Peter McGuinness, and the Hutt Valley Irish Society. A very big thank you from all of us on the Capital Irish team.
That program was brought to you by Wellington Access Radio. Get your voice heard.
Thanks, New Zealand On Air, for funding accessmedia.nz.